Right.
Oh, is that right?
And now, I guess now I am after this. Okay, Galatians, we left off in chapter 2. We left off Galatians chapter 2 is where we left off. We found out up to this point, Paul had went up to Jerusalem, and he went up by revelation. And he communicated unto the pillars that gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. And he had went in.
Did you turn it on? I just didn't see it.
Yeah. Yes. And he went up by revelation. And we had established, the scriptures established it, that when he said that gospel that I preach among the Gentiles, that gospel was not their gospel. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to go up and reveal it to them. Right? And so they, and we two key words in here, as to me it stood out, is when he said in verse 7, he says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. And the thing that, how would they see that? How did they see that? Peter, James, and John, how did they see it?
You mean by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit? Is that what you're getting at?
Right.
I'm not sure what you're...
But the thing is, how did, when Paul began to make his argument, what did he use on his, for his grounds? Well, look at verse 7.
Signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders. He says they seem to be in conference, but he says, but on the contrary, or contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, semicolon, parentheses, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
So they saw that he had power.
They saw that because the Jews, 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews
require
a sign. So when they come, when Paul says, look, everything that he's doing, everything that God wrought in him, guess what? He wrought it in me. They couldn't deny it. He says, this is what I'm doing among the Gentiles. They knew he was converted. They knew he was called. Can you imagine you got 12 apostles, right? They know their role. And then it begins to fall apart. James, the first James, is killed. They don't replace him. The program is starting to go downhill. Remember when we drew that funnel? The program is going downhill, and then Paul comes up by revelation, and then he communicates unto them that gospel. That gospel. Not our gospel. They didn't say, oh yeah, we know all about that. That gospel that I preach. Well, you would have these other apostles saying, well, what's going on? And Paul's telling them what's going on. Now, we don't have all the details, but we know now that their gospel, which had a foundation in belief and works, and Paul's saying, I don't preach that. He didn't give me that to preach. Hence the revelation. Go up now to Jerusalem, because you see, this is bottlenecking. You know, they're fighting, they'll be fighting him. So, excuse me, verse, he says, he wrought effectually in me. You know, when Paul gives his resume on the saved side. He talks about everything he talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 11. He talks about all the things that he went through. And then he puts one little tag on there. All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 11. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, verse 9. Okay, verse 8. That's it. And last of all, he was seen of me also. This is Paul talking about after the resurrection. Excuse me, after the resurrection. He says, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. All. Who is all?
The 12.
Than the 12. He says, I worked them all.
Now, was he bragging?
Let's see. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
He cleared that up.
He said, I wasn't self-powered. I was Christ-powered. He says, what I did, he enabled me to do. You know what? What you do, or what you get done, or what he gets done through you, guess how it'll get done. Yeah. Guess how to get done?
Enabled by Jesus Christ.
He's going to have to empower you to do it through his grace. And I guarantee you, you know what? You'll know if you're pushing it or pulling it. You know what I mean? You'll know.
Yeah.
We do have a tendency to get involved, right?
Yeah.
You know, we won't make it work.
But you can't make it work.
You can't make it work. No. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 16. Now, Paul he's in Corinth. He's talked right into the Corinthians, who again, they are not fully recognizing his authority. He has to just like he's doing to the Galatians, he's got to do in Corinth. He's got to write to the Corinthians to validate his ministry. And he's the one who took the gospel to them. And then he has to write back to them because they had got caught up in personalities. You know, this, we like this guy. We like this apostle, you know. He's on TV. They got a ministry. They work out of the Faith Dome or whatever. You know, they have a bank. They have a credit union. You know, they have a mass choir. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Who you know what I'm talking about?
In a coffee shop. In a bookstore.
All that. All the appendages, you know, all the religious things.
With the audience of television.
So, and the Corinthians, you know, one thing about this message is you don't get the limelight. Or you don't get the pat on the back. You don't get the big crowd. Right, Sharpton? You don't get a lot of invites. You might get some.
You get the good crowd.
You get the good crowd, right? So you always have that tendency, we do, like the Corinthians, where Paul said, your lot is to suffer. Not to be celebrated, but to be persecuted. Who else believe that but you? That's what they... Who else preaches that? I never heard that before. Who else is talking about Paul?
Nobody. Because you're talking about some, it.
How many members over there? Y'all don't even have a real building.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't even have a choir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When Christ, during his 3 years, he never orchestrated a song through the people, did he?
He never, you know what? The common people, but the mainstream, they fought him all the way.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. Same with Paul. On the religious side, they love him. We love you, Paul. The minute he gets saved and gets that revelation, we hate you, Paul. They persecuted him. Like he went to strange cities. Every city he went to, they were waiting right there for him. He couldn't get away from it. And everywhere you go, if you stand for it, guess what? They'll be waiting for you.
They saw him as weak
when he was strong.
They saw him as weak. When he was strong and bad.
And you know why he was weak? Because he gave up his
strength.
His strength. Paul called it his... He gave up his... Yeah, look at... hold your hand back. Hold your hand in 11 and look over to verse 13, or chapter 13.
2 Corinthians.
Yeah, same book, chapter 2, verse 13, start at verse 1, 13:1. He said, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. That's important. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. The second time, I told you before and foretell you as if I was present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now, they were acting just like unsaved people. And he said, you check your own temperature. You know whether you believed or not, don't you? He says, you know. I don't have to. You check. He says, even though you're acting like an unsaved person. That's grace. You know what they say? Well, you mean I can be saved and do this? Were the Corinthians saved?
Mm-hmm.
Were they doing some ungodly things?
Big time.
Or carnal things.
Just like we are now.
Just like. So he wrote to him. He says, you know what? You check yourself out. Whether you really believe it. Examine yourself. You know, anyway. Verse 6. But I trust you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved. But that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection or your maturation. Therefore, because I want your maturation, I want you to grow up. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. Here we go. According to the power which the Lord hath given me to what?
Edification
and not to destruction. He said, like Frank said, that he appeared weak, but he was really strong.
He was as strong as he was when he was in the bad mode, in the Christ mode.
Right, and that's where, you know what? That's his aim. He was always, he was a majority of the time in the Christ mode. Because what he sought was always the edification of the believers. That means he always sought to build them up.
Right.
To grow them up, not to tear them down. He wrote to Corinthians and he went through all those lists, things. And they said, he said this, I don't want to have to come to Corinth. And they were like, oh, how many times has he said that? He's not coming. He ain't going to do nothing when he get here. Like he says, when he's away, his letters are weighty and powerful. But when he's here, he's weak and contemptible. It's not like he couldn't come in a clean house. But he wanted to see him grow up. You know what he wrote to him? When he first wrote to him, he said this. He says, I'm writing this. He says, though the more I love you, the less you love me. This is the apostle to the Gentiles. So what would give a man that attitude?
The response he was getting from them.
What would the response he was getting, if he was in retaliation mode, he would clean house, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses?
Mm-hmm.
And even when the Kohathites, I think it's, when they challenged him, you know what happened to them?
Enlightened.
Miriam, when she did it, she got leprosy.
Yeah.
When the Kohaths challenged him, the Lord opened up a hole in the earth because they challenged his authority. And Moses, who was meek, more meek than any man, he said, the Lord said, okay, you call him out outside. Since you want to challenge him, come outside the camp, meet me out here, and then we'll see who I'm speaking by. Because they told Moses, you take too much on yourself. We're Levites too. That's not the point. He chose me. But that was under the law. And under the law, they die without mercy.
Mm.
Under two or three witnesses. Here's Paul in grace. He says, the power that he's given me is for your edification. Not for your destruction. So when a man, he might appear weak, if he lets you ride in on him, it should be for your benefit. It should be the Christ in him that's allowing you to appear strong even though you're weak. Let me rephrase that. The Corinthians thought they were strong, but they were really carnal, which made him weak. So the spiritually mature man doesn't always have to win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He doesn't always have to be on top, because he has an aim, and that is your maturity.
It's your soul.
That's your, right. He wants you to grow up. He's older than you in spiritual matters. Okay, you guys that have, and I've been a child, you guys that have children, there's some point in your relationship where your son or daughter, they know more than you.
They started about 2 years old.
And you've been, they're 18, you are 28, or whatever. You got years on them. What you've done, I've done twice. But they come and they know they're strong. I could do it. I'm glad. I'll be glad when I get out of here. I get on my own and do what I want to do.
You can go now.
All right. You know what? They leave. 8 o'clock. Hey, Dad. I'm here. I'm cold. I don't have. We don't have no heat over here.
Is that the time you turn and be like Christ? Who is my mom?
That's the time. You know what? You do like the prodigal son, and you let him come on back, and you give him a ring, you give him a robe, you give him a feast.
I'm not Christ.
But that's the thing is, you have to be spiritually minded to do that. The same Galatians he wrote to them, he says, you are free. He says, but be careful that if you bite and devour one another, unless you be consumed one of another. You know, babies get together. Scratch, bite. Just put them together. You know what? You don't have to do that. Just put them there, and sooner or later, you know, what happened?
Something's going to jump off.
He hit me, you know. Just a matter of time. Right?
That's almost human nature, like animals, babies.
It is. You know what? And we don't get different as we get older. The only thing that changes us. Yeah. The only thing that changes us is Christ working in us. Where you look, like he wrote to the Philippians, he says, look not on the things. He said, look on the things of others and not just your own. The only thing that would make a man unselfish is when he finds out that he's nobody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As long as he thinks he's somebody, then I have to outshine you.
Really?
But if you're nobody, that's why he says, I'm the lowest one.
Man.
But he was the greatest one. Lord, give it to me and my brother that we will sit on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom. And the other apostles, you know what they did?
They got jealous.
They got mad. They looked like,
wait a minute. I was going to ask you that.
And Lord, he's like, that's not mine to give. But I will tell you this. He that will be greatest among you must be what? He must be what? He must be servant of all. Ooh. Ooh.
I see where you're going.
A lot of foot washing, ain't it?
A lot of foot washing. You want to be the greatest? Then you be servant of all. Can you do that?
That's a hard road to hoe.
But that's the kingdom. That's God's kingdom.
That's Christ.
Right.
Look, that's what Christ did. He says he was in the form of God. Right. He came down and became a servant. To the people that didn't want to be served.
Man.
But after he did his job, the scripture said, when we talked last night, The scripture said now that God had highly what?
Exalted
him and given him a name. That at the name of Jesus, they made it. Maybe they didn't like him while he was walking around. They didn't recognize him because they were offended in him. They said, this can't be him. Not our deliverer. It cannot be him. Look at him. It can't be him.
But as a boy,
what's that?
He's got to be strong.
He's got to be. But they didn't know that he was doing the thing that required the most strength. Was he was ready to deliver them from them, from their own sin, the sins of the world. How strong is that?
Mm-hmm. They was expecting him to deliver an army to do away with the Romans.
Right. That's what they were expecting, but they didn't realize that it was an internal bondage that needed to be taken care of. So you can't serve until you've been released. If you're in bondage,
you
can't help anybody. So when where were we? Okay, I lost my. Where were we in? 2 Corinthians?
You want to tell us about all his sufferings.
Oh, but the thing was for edification. Yeah. That's what the Lord had given him power not to clean the house, but to strengthen the house. Mm-hmm. So it's easy. It's easy to ride a man down. It takes no effort. But for me to build you up, for me to enlighten you, for me to esteem you better than me, that requires some otherworldly help working in us. Because it's always us. The flesh is always me, my, mine. Me, myself, and I, right? So when Paul writes, and this is where we're back in back in 2, where he talked about working, verse 8 and 9.
We're at Galatians.
Galatians, where he says that's where he worked effectually in me. Oh, I skipped 2 Corinthians, didn't I? Yeah, but anyway, we worked and he labored and he went through all those things. And he said that when he was at his lowest point, he said that's when the grace of God stepped in and enabled him to endure all those things. So when he talks to the Peter, James, and John, and it's he tells them what he's doing, and the signs, they got to know. Well, wow, I can't argue with that. They can't argue with that. Well, they could, but they require a sign, and he gave it to them. This is it. These are the same group of people who had been working signs. So they know the power of the sign. They know the validity of the sign. So it carried a lot of weight with them as believers. Okay? So in verse 9. And excuse me, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace. There you go. There's the Holy Spirit right there. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do. He says, when I told them about it and told them about the signs, they saw it. And then they perceived it. That's like this. We might talk about some scriptures. Ed might say some things and you might write it down. Well, you see it. You might But then you might go home and you begin to look, and then you perceive it, because it goes from up here, and you process it, and the Holy Spirit says, "You know what he said? He's right." And you're like, "Oh, wow!" Like, "Oh man!" Like, you know when you see that, that goes from seeing it to perceiving it. You're like, "Oh wow!" Somewhere you watching the video, and it'll go from seeing it to perceiving it. That's what keeps you coming back. That's what keeps me coming back. Is, you know what? You might see some things, and the Holy Spirit takes that information, and he says, "It's right. That's right."
And in the car on the way home, start perceiving.
Or at home, you know, sometimes I'm in the bed at night, and I'll be thinking about some things. And I'm like, "Oh man!" And I might get up. I might write on the side of like a piece of paper. I might just grab the, and then I might write it down. I'm half asleep, and then I might get up and look at it. And I'm like, "Why did I write? I don't even know what that is."
I don't know why you did it?
Because it wasn't legible enough for me to. But you know what? And he's like, "Oh man." But eventually it comes back around.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, right. So and here's one of those things. Look at verse 8. He says this. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars." What's wrong with that equation?
What's wrong with it, or what can we derive from it?
Both. We're in chapter 2, verse 8.
Well,
verse 9.
Well, Peter is no longer is the dead man.
It was always this way. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter and jelly and James. No, Peter, James, and John, right? It was that way. And then, after this, James, Peter, James, and John, right?
Now it's Peter, Cephas.
Now,
yes.
James is dead. Uh-huh. Now you got James, Cephas, and John in Galatians. You say, "Well, big deal." There's a verse that says this. Somewhere, I think it's in Matthew. It says, Andrew. It's in John. It says, Andrew heard the Messiah. And he went and called his brother. Who's Andrew's brother?
Peter.
He called his brother. And he says, "I found him of whom the prophets did speak." Who found him first?
Andrew.
But when the Lord calls his disciples and makes them apostles, he says, "And the first, Peter."
Because he was the oldest?
Nope. Just last week, we found out what? He just taught it. He just taught it last week. Where people were saying Peter was the Pope. What makes these people think Peter's the Pope?
Because it started with a Peter.
Christ said, "Upon this rock."
Upon this rock. Oh, yes. He calls him and he gives him some authority. Watch this. This is crazy. I don't say crazy. This is interesting. I'm going to get hung up here. He says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," right? What does Peter mean?
Rock.
What does Simon mean?
Stone.
What does Cephas mean?
Boulder? I don't know. Oh, okay.
So the Lord says, thou art Peter.
The little rock.
And he says, he calls him Simon Peter. And even here it says, Peter being interpreted Cephas. It's the same name. So I'm thinking, why would the Lord say, James, thou art James? Okay, I know that. What's the significance? That's why when Ed said this, it wasn't built on him. It was built on Peter's confession about who the rock was. So when he says, thou art Peter, upon this church, upon this rock I'll build my church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He says, you're the man. You're the man with the authority here. Right? Now, so when we get to Galatians,
he gets a little
looser. He gets what?
He does
a little looser. When he gets to Galatians, now you got James
in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened?
It's falling apart.
And it's not even the James who was an apostle.
Right.
It was like a secondary.
What's falling apart?
What's falling apart, Kim said.
You said it's falling apart. What?
Their original program.
The program. Okay.
Right. It's falling apart.
Their job.
Okay.
And it was, you know what, another thing that was interesting is yeah. Yeah, all right.
That's all right. Do we understand why the ministry is falling apart? In other words, the mystery has been revealed to mm-hmm. Paul.
Well, and the reason that it was revealed to Paul was because they had rejected it as a nation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Theirs was collective. Right. It was like.
That was it.
Blasphemy
of the Holy Spirit.
So it was a corporate response that was needed, where these men were just the leadership. When the Lord called those 12, they were just his spokesman for the kingdom that should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to be that way, the leadership that was in rebellion had to embrace the Lord and his message.
Okay. But they were given all of these powers the same as Jesus Christ.
They were given those powers. Why do you think they were doing that?
Well, it made them feel real good, I guess. They were doing it because they were taught by Jesus Christ to do these things. But
they were signs. They were signs of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that's so for them. The sign had to have a positive response. So they were doing the signs, but like we just talked about, is just because they were in the leadership spiritually, they weren't there. So every time the Lord sent them a sign, all they did was reject it. And the more he showed them, the more they rejected it. So it's like you put a magnet together. You can the closer you get to it, that's how they were. The division got farther and farther apart. When John the Baptist came, he preached. Then Jesus came, he preached. Then the 12 came, they preached. Then the 70, they preached. And the more they preached, the farther away the rebellion, the harder they fought. So eventually, the Lord says, that's it.
So Peter's losing his commission in a way. Because you said he was, because I see him here, doesn't even look like he's feeding the sheep anymore.
There's no sheep to feed.
Right.
So, matter of fact,
and they're running out of money.
They've ran out of money.
Yeah.
So Peter was really building his army that they thought Christ was going to bring in. He was building up an army of disbelievers during his reign. As you said, they spread apart. They got further away. Maybe that's the wrong analogy.
Well, Peter was building up. He was building up believers, but the leadership that Peter was speaking to, they were the ones who didn't want to hear it.
They become the generals of the army of the opposition.
Exactly.
Within.
They were that brutal.
Exactly.
Vipers.
They were against it. So,
Peter did fall off a little bit. I don't know how it happened. He did fall off a little bit, didn't he?
What do you mean fall off?
Peter.
Fall off a little bit?
Run around with women.
No.
I don't like.
No. Remember,
what do you?
Peter was somewhere, and at one time he was hanging with the Gentiles.
Oh, we hadn't got. It's coming up.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He did fall off there, but
yeah.
That's where.
That's
after that.
Okay.
So, but, and they had obviously the order has been replaced.
Right.
And. And when he talks about that, Peter, James, and John, and then it's James, Cephas, and John. And we just quoted the verse that says, the Lord always does things decently and in order. And he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So you got... Peter couldn't do it by himself. So you got James, Cephas, and John, and they do what? They hear Paul and they give Paul and Barnabas. And they says, you know what? Seeing what you've just showed us, and we do see it, we're going to say, you go where?
The
you go to the Gentiles, and we'll go
to
the circumcision.
Which are the Jews?
Which are the Jews?
The majority of the Jews.
Right. We say that. So, and we'll find out the strangest thing happens when they shake on that. You don't find James in Gentile territory, except if you send those guys to Galatia, you don't find John in Gentile territory. Peter visits. He's just having a meal. But you do find Paul cannot stay out of Jewish territory. He just agreed and says, okay, you go to the heathen and we go to the circumcision. And they get out, and they get on that ship, and he goes on his next missionary journey, and he gets out, and he goes straight to the synagogue.
Well, he said he was going to the heathen.
That was a misunderstanding, yeah.
But, and see, that's the thing is, if it's a new program, right, where the Lord says there's no favorite distinction now, that's good. That's where they say, well, they preach the same thing. This is evidence that the middle wall is tumbling down. Otherwise, Paul would have been in direct disagreement of what transpired in Jerusalem, wouldn't he? And
so would another way of saying that, or at least the way it played out, was that they agreed to go to those that were clinging to the kingdom and that everything else was fair game for Paul? Would that be a...
But they wouldn't know that, though.
No, I'm talking about how it played out.
They didn't want him to go to the Jews.
And the Jews didn't want him to go to the Gentiles.
Right.
With that message.
But his message was different to the Jews.
And his and that's the thing is where all through his ministry, I mean, the next journeys that he took, when he goes to those cities, everywhere he goes, they fight him all the way.
Conflict.
Well, then I'm confused based on what you said in this conversation. So if he agreed, well, what he agreed to, but then he immediately went about to do what he something in opposition, well, help explain what. I mean, I understand about the middle wall of partition being broken down. That I understand.
We'll get there.
But then why did he agree to do something that he's going to do something else?
We'll get there.
He's got higher orders.
We'll get there. Get there next.
Did he say that he wouldn't talk to the Jews at all?
No, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that, did he?
Christ told him not to talk to the Jews, right?
No.
He never told him
now,
that.
In fact, he says, I will send me to the Gentiles and to kings and to, didn't he?
Something out of the way of.
There's a lot. Now think about this too. Before we go to there's when you're talking about grace, is even Paul, the apostle of grace, is under grace. He does some things that the Lord allows him to do. For example, we're not there yet, but when he goes to these cities, and he says, I got to go to Jerusalem. By all means, I must keep this feast that comes at Jerusalem. For what? For what? He just told the Galatians not to get up under the feast days.
Habits die hard.
And he leaves that meeting and says, I got to go to the feast.
He's remembering the old days.
And see, and the thing is that's what I said. You talk about grace. Even the apostle of grace was under grace. There's some things, and the Lord appeared to him and says, "Look, these are prophets." And they go. He goes to the city, and he says, "Don't go to Jerusalem." The Spirit said, "Don't go to Jerusalem." And you know what Paul said? You know what? I won't. Thank you, prophet. He didn't say that. He says, I don't care. That's what he said. He said, none of these things move.